Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you. I've always looked at this place from a distance and thought I would never stand here, apart from during the choir, but I get to stand here today, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to share the Word of God today. My introduction is in the paper, so I am very sure you'll find time and read that, because I have very few minutes, so I'm not going to use those minutes talking about myself. Yes, so this morning we're going to look at the parable that has just been demonstrated here by the children, and it starts with a very interesting story. And when I was looking at it, I was thinking about myself in this country where I do not know the definition of neighbor anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I come from a very different culture from this culture, and me and my husband have been on an endeavor of knowing who lives next to us, and it's almost impossible. It's just hard. And last night we had one of our neighbors, the police gathered around one of the neighbors, and in Uganda, you come out to see what is happening. And you all come out. And I felt sad because I was looking from the window. I don't know what's happening. I hope the person is safe. And I'm like, I can't get out. Mm. And I kept thinking, wow, it's a very different definition of neighborhood. And it's different. Mm-hmm. But we are thankful to be here at such a time as this. Mm-hmm. And so, the lawyer asked Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And I like how Luke puts it, inherit eternal life, but Matthew puts it, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And for a lawyer, that's a serious question, because he's asking about law. Mm-hmm. And Jesus turns the question to him. He says, what does the law say? And so Jesus is not quick to answer that question, but he turns the question to him, because he understands. What does the law say? And he actually asks, how do you read it? Because you read it, how do you read it? Mm-hmm. And he says, it's interesting because it's him who answers this. It is not Jesus who answers. It's him who answers this. Because he knows it very well. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do this and you will live. Now, to justify his actions, he asks Jesus, who is my neighbor? Never mind that he wants to test Jesus and see whether he understands the law. He actually wants to check Jesus out. And so the legal expert is confronted with a parable by Jesus. Jesus is usually doing parables a lot, and probably to help bring the message down to people. And so he confronts this lawyer with a parable. And just as the priest is looking for a loophole, we've seen that, to avoid the inconvenience of helping his neighbor, the expert of the law, that's the lawyer, is looking for a loophole to avoid the inconvenience of loving his neighbor. You know, and Jesus draws that parallel right there. So by trying to define the neighbor, the lawyer is trying to define where he can get away with not loving. And so to justify that he's fine and he can get away, because the definition legally is like this. And so Jesus then gives the parable, and we've seen the characters here, although I don't know whether they get to know what they were doing. So we see the priests. So a man is walking down from Jerusalem on a road that is risky and dangerous. We come from a country where we have very many roads like those. And you know, if you find yourself in such a road, you run. You don't stop, and you keep your phone and any money very far, a place that people will have to struggle to get it. And there are such many roads, including in the city, in Kampala. And I was just figuring out this road. It's a dangerous road. and a man is coming down, and he is invaded by thieves, and he gets to be robbed, and they leave him half dead. So he is lying down there. But what follows are three people, and Jesus is very intentional in the categories of the people that he brings in the parable. So he talks about the priests. Now, a priest is a Levite. It's one who is probably more honored and so holy. And at this point, it is very clear that he is not supposed to stop because he is not supposed to touch dead bodies. He would be making himself filthy and not holy. And probably he's running to do a service. And so it makes sense. He doesn't need to stop, actually. And scripture actually says he moved on the opposite side of them, just to be a bit far from the scenario. Mm-hmm. And so he had all justifications to get away with this. And then a man, a Levite, one who works in church without probably authority, also knows as a Levite he shouldn't encounter dead bodies. And so comes through, and he's sure he doesn't also wants to be unclean. And he's a second ranking here, so Jesus is using first ranking of the legal mind, trying to help that legal mind think legally. This is a high level man. This is a priest. This is a Levite. These are people that are respected and honored. And so he also finds himself justified, and he gets away. That was the Levite. And then he introduces a third character, a Samaritan. And this is very contradictory to the lawyer. And Samaritan is passing by. Now, when you read the history of Samaritans and everyone else involved in the Jewish culture and so forth, for example, the Samaritans, that's not a road they were supposed to use. That road, theologians have written that it was used by Levites, priests, and mostly, you know, Jews, and you could not find Samaritans on that road. And that is interesting that you actually would know which road you need to use. But at the same time, a deep hatred existed between Jews and Samaritans. And the Jews saw themselves as pure descendants of Abraham. Remember, the person asking the question is a pure descendant of Abraham. That's what he sees himself. While the Samaritans were a mixed race produced when the northern kingdom intermarried with the other people after the exile. So they were hated and had enmity with the Jews. And some versions, I'm sure, say a despised Samaritan who was passing. And so Jesus finishes that story and talks about what the Samaritan does. And then Jesus asks the question again. So after explaining what the Samaritan man does, takes care of the man who is wounded, takes him to the inn, and takes care of him. And then Jesus asks him, who was a good neighbor here? And the legal expert answers, the one who had mercy. It's shocking that he cannot even say the Samaritan, because it's thrown him off balance. In such a story, it needed to be at least a Jew. It wouldn't be a Samaritan. And Jesus is not asking the question, who is merciful? He's asking, who was the neighbor? And then the man answers, the one who had mercy. The legal experts least expect the Samaritan would be the correct one. No wonder he can't even pronounce the name Samaritan. Lack of love is often easy to justify, even though it is never right. So we can be a neighbor When we are needed, and neighbors can come from surprising places. And love means acting to meet a need. And at this story, in this parable, we see a double commandment that cannot be separated. Love the Lord. And after you have loved the Lord, you love the neighbor. And the beginning is very important because everyone else in the world could love the neighbor, maybe. But then we, as children of God, so we've loved the Lord, then we love the neighbor. And so there's the Samaritan's actions, which I want to look at, were established in love. And this parable moves us beyond just doing good things and bad things. It's not just about being good and bad. It stresses on the concrete expressions of love, which is not just knowing what love is, but going an extra mile. It moves us from loving to, you know, from just loving to why and how. The Samaritan man on arrival is moved with compassion, and that makes him stop. The Levite and the priest had justifications, and they were calculating. They brought in logic, and they knew that they can't stop. The Samaritan man, on seeing the sight, he is moved by compassion, and he responds. And I was just wondering, what kind of response is this? When do I respond? How do I respond? When do I know I need to actually respond? So the calculations, the logic, he was moved by compassion. I am very sure he was going somewhere important. Because actually, after taking the man to the inn, he left. Because he had probably other things to do. But he was moved by compassion and stopped. Why does he stop? This is the wrong road. He's stopping at the wrong place. And I know from experience, usually people who are on that road, even when they are looking like they are half dead, there's a trick. There's usually either a group of other robbers that are waiting for you to help that man so that they catch you. I don't know if you have such, we have, that is things you learn as you grow, the roads that you grow in. And so sometimes when you find such a man, you actually run because it's more dangerous to stay there. It might just mean it's an invitation to treat. Come in, help the man, and you have 10 other people coming for you. And most of the times, these people that actually are lying, looking like they are half dead, are robbers themselves. And that would have been a possibility. But this man is moved by compassion, and he stops. It's not right, but he stops. It's not safe, but he stops. He probably has no time, but he stops. There are so many neighbors and so many ways that we can. There are so many, in so many ways we can decide not to stop. And I was thinking about how, especially for me, when it has not moved from my head to the heart, I will not stop. I do not know how to stop. When the love has moved and has not moved from my heart, it is very hard to stop. And I think that this man did not stop because he just knew what love is. But he had encountered something deeper, deeper within his heart that caused him to stop. This week we've been reading with our children, and one of the verses we've been memorizing has been John 15:5. And it says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And it says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I was thinking, in our own effort, it is very hard to love. You know, when we look at our circumstances and the things around us, sometimes it is very hard to love. And it can become hard when it's by our own. But today, Jesus is calling us to look up to him who fills us with love, love that can overflow from a deeper place, love that overflows farther than a calculation, farther than the risk, farther than all the things that you can you use your mind to think about. It goes farther than that, and that can only be enabled by abiding in the Lord, and him abiding in us, and being able to produce that fruit of love. An example is told of a woman that came to visit a friend and found a friend having was very sick. And she was lying there, and the children were playing, had not showered for 3 days, you know, such a house. No food, the fridge is empty, the kids have been running around, and the house is all very disorganized. And she entered, prayed for the friend, and she was leaving quickly and saying, if you need help, you can call me. And the house is all disorderly. There's surely practical needs that are right there. But she tells the woman who is sick, if you need help, please call me. And I'm thinking, wow, sometimes it actually looks like that for us. Many times we get ourselves in that place where it's, we look, we calculate, we think through, is this, am I going to do this? Is it worth? Do I have the time? What's the risk? What am I risking in being involved in these things? And it's very dangerous for us to be able to sometimes offer the love. But today my message comes to say it's much more than just the feeling. It's much more than the acting. It's much more than the doing it. It's more of the motivation that comes from the Lord. And the Lord enables us to do it. The Lord enables us to cross bridges. The Lord enables us to move beyond what we can do. And sometimes it's not very far. It's in our families. Who is the neighbor? Who is my neighbor? It's in my family. Sometimes it's in my workplace. Sometimes it's in my school right now. Sometimes it's right here. But how do we ever know, and how do we never ever know when to stop? And how do we know when to do it? And that's the place that today the Lord is inviting us to design with him, to abide in him, and to be able to manifest that love that goes right from our heads to our hearts and can overflow naturally by his help. There are so many neighbors that we need to be soothing, caring, and loving. What are your limits? Is it time? For him, he used what he had. I am not anywhere close to medical something, but I don't know if they use wine to clean wounds, maybe, yeah. And he used what he had, you know. But many times we actually say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So is it time? Is it the resources? Is it the money? What is lacking? And so this morning, I pray that all of us can be able to be moved by compassion, and through that compassion that Jesus really, really puts in us, be able to find out what is it that then we can do. Even neighbors, even enemies can prove to be neighbors. Compassion has no boundaries. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The temptation to keep on talking is a lot, but I know that I need to stop.
Go ahead.
In my heart, this is a message that is very close to my heart, because me and my husband are involved in helping a lot of poor people. And a lot of time, you do it, and you just do it because you're a Christian, and that's what you need to do. But God has been challenging my heart to do it because of what we read today in the song. Because we have been loved, then we can love. Because we have received, because you cannot give that which you have not received. And because we have received love, then we can give it out. And if you do not have, if you haven't received that love, you will not give it out. And when I think about the branches and the tree, I am thinking of a branch. Sometimes, I don't know whether you have seen, we come from, this is a farming area. You can have a branch of a tree, if it's on the soil, it actually starts to grow by itself. But it doesn't have roots, and it's not sustainable. It won't produce for long. And that is something that we can do by our own. We can do the good things we think about. We can think about it in our heads. What do we do? What do we do? But we have to remain at the source. We have to be rooted in Christ for us to be able to know then how to love. Because it's after we receive that love from the Lord that it can be able to overflow to our enemies. We can be able to overflow to every person, because then all of them are our neighbors. And so Jesus tells the man, so he finishes and he says, who was a good neighbor? And he says, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus says to him, go and do the same. And this morning I say to you, go and do the same. And I will pray Ephesians 3:16 over you, because I felt it, one that meant a lot to me. So I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to measure of all the fullness of God. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given us this day to interact with your word. I pray that you enable us to understand your love and receive it and be full of it, so that we can be able to overflow to the world, to our families, to our relatives, to our friends, because they are our neighbors. And the need is huge. The world is hurting. So many people are hurting around us. And we pray that you help us to know when to stop. We pray that you help us to know what to do when we stop. We pray that you help us to go all the way through when we stop. We pray that we will not be tired of doing this. And we thank you because it's at your heart. And we ask that you enable us. And where it's difficult, we pray for your strength. Because with you, we can do all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.